Asara Devarim Nivru Be'erb Shabbos Ben Ashmashos. There were 10 things that were created. 10 things that were created on Erev Shabbos, Ben Ashmashos, Ve'eluhen, Pi Ha'aretz, Rabbeinu Yonah tells us, is the area that opened up its quote-unquote mouth in order to swallow Korach v'Adaso. Pi Ha'be'er, this is the Sela, Shehika Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm reading in Rabbeinu Yonah. Pi Ha'oson, so that was the stone that Moshe Rabbeinu hit that gave water. Piha Oson is Bilam's donkey. Now, I think the parish, the Yochin, points out this doesn't mean that the donkey was created at Sheshes Mei Bereishis and it was like, you know, thousands of years old, or by the time the story with Bilam took place, it was a really, really old donkey. He'd been around since creation, just sort of, you know, wandering around the earth. But it means that the Koach in one specific strain of donkeys to one day have the genetic material to create this donkey was set up already from Sheshes Mei Bereishis. Same thing. I don't think Pi Ha'aretz means that the earth was sitting there, you know, with its mouth going up, open and close, open and close, waiting for Korach. It means that there was some Koach. If we wanted to get really rational, we could say, oh, there was a fault line that was placed, that was there, so that it could open at that moment. Keshes is the rainbow that appeared after the Mabul, the Mun of the Midbar, Matev Moshe, which he used for doing all the Osos, the Shamir is a Tola Aruch that Shlomo HaMelech used in order to cut the stones for the Beis HaMikdash, right? I'm sure everyone is amazed when they go to the Kotel and they see those huge stones of the Kotel, not the little ones on top, but the larger ones. And they're wondering, how did they cut these things? How did they move these things? You know, one of the secrets of the ancients, that they were able to build things like the pyramids with these huge stones. So here, they were able to cut the stones. How did they cut the stones? Because it says in the Pasuk that they didn't use metal tools for the construction. So it's that they used this shamir. The ksav, what's the ksav? The Torah, which was ksuva lifnei Hashem, yisala b'sheshes mei bereishis, b'eish shchora agabi eish levana. Some type of early version of the Torah, meaning some spiritual counterpart or a spiritual version of the Torah. When the Torah comes down to our world, so it manifests itself in the words of the Torah that we have. But the Torah has a root that's in a higher, deeper place, which is manifest as a eish shchora, black fire, agabi eish levana. Hamichtav, which are the special surah of the osios on the luchos that we know stood in with a miracle, as the Gemara tells us, and the luchos themselves. Yesh omrim afa mazikin v'kivro shamosh. And there are those who say even the mazikin, which are some type of, for lack of a better term for now, some type of evil spirit of some sort, and the Kfura Shel Moshe, the Makum Kfura Shel Moshe, which was some hidden cave that apparently after Moshe was buried, it disappeared. It was like swallowed up by the earth. And Elo Shel Avraham Avinu, the aisle, which again here, I don't think the aisle was created itself necessarily at Bereishis, and it just wandered and it was like really, really old by the time the story took place. But it means the DNA capabilities to produce this aisle, perhaps, was already established then. Interesting line here. That also the kli that's used to take things out of the fire, tongs, which you use to remove things from a fire, so they were that's how you were, whenever you make a kalim out of metal in the boiling hot furnace, the way you take it out is with that. So how'd they get the first one out? So that one had to have been created during Sheshes Mei Bereishis. The Lama Hutzra Chlimdos Asar Dvar Melu asks Rabbeinu Yonah, why are these 10 things being singled out? Lahodia kimasha baruch kodesh baruch hu al tenai baro. She yishtane tivam b'shas ha-tzricha. She'ein davar ha-mizchadish ba'olam shal olam ha-chshav ha-maisa b'reishas. I mean, Yonah says, you know what the purpose of this Mishnah is? This is not necessarily a historical account. That's not the point. The point of this Mishnah is to teach you that even things that would occur in the future, Hashem already had a plan for them from Sheshis Mei Bereshis. Don't think that things just occur and Hashem's sort of just like winging it as things occur. No, you should realize that everything was orchestrated from the beginning. We're not getting into now the famous question of Yedi and Bechira. How can it be that we have Bechira Chavshis if Hashem already knows back in the past what's going to happen in the future, and Hashem's even orchestrating things? Rambam writes, we don't know the answer to that question, and we know that both sides are true. We know that we have Bechira. We know that Hashem has Yedia. How can those two things coexist? We don't know. But that is the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Ki lo machshavosai machshavoseichem, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, there are things that could be true that we don't necessarily understand how they can be true. Yeah, I think I've given you this mashal before. But if you live in a universe where people believe that the world is flat, so, and they take that as a foregone conclusion, the world is flat, and then someone starts walking in one direction and he ends up showing up many, you know, a year later, he starts walking east, and all of a sudden he shows up on the west, and you're wondering to yourself, how can that be if the earth is flat? And the answer is the earth is flat. What do I mean the earth is flat? The earth is flat. But because we have three dimensions, so the flat surface of the earth is curved around because we have a third dimension. So it's true. It's a flat piece of paper. It's just a flat piece of paper that is curled around. And that's why if you walk in one direction, you end up showing up at the other side of the on the other end. Now, how can both those things be true? How can it be a flat surface? If you keep walking on the plane of the earth, okay, forget about mountains now. You go up a mountain, down a mountain, because those end up balancing themselves out. If you took a drill and you stayed at the same level of sea level, meaning you continued to walk flat on a flat surface, and you will walk on a flat surface, you will eventually appear back at the spot that you started from. How can that be? So that's something that up until we knew and were able to tell that there was curvature to the earth, we would have said, I don't know, how can these two things coexist? A lot of times, two things that seem to be a contradiction, the surface is flat, and yet, if I walk in one direction, I end up eventually coming from the other direction. Those are things that seem to be impossible to understand how they can both be true, and obviously they are both true. And that's because up until recently, we were lacking a certain perspective. Once you have that perspective, so things that seem to be impossible are no longer impossible. So how could it be that Hashem, on the one hand, knows everything and maybe even orchestrates certain things, and we have free will? I'm not sure. It's hard to understand how those two things can coexist. But that doesn't mean that they're both true. It means that we're just lacking to a degree in our perspective. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, that's what's really going on here. We're trying to be told that don't think things just happen. Hashem knew everything. Everything was already set up before, all the chess pieces, right? It's like a chess master who he's doing certain things, and I don't really know. I'm not such a great chess player. So I'm thinking like one step ahead, maybe two steps ahead. But the real chess master, he's thinking like 40 steps ahead. So when he moves that pawn, he's not just moving that pawn, he's already doing 40 steps ahead. So Allah has come v'kama, lahavdil HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, when HaKadosh, and it's not just these 10 things, these are just examples. But when he put the celestial spheres, when he put the sun and the moon into the sky on Yom Revi, he already had a plan that they would stop for Yoshua and for Chizkiah. And when he set the oceans up, he already knew that they would split at some point. So that's what Rabbeinu Yonah learns from this Mishnah. The Rambam famously comments on this Mishnah that you see from here, this is part of the Rambam's general approach of trying to minimize miracles. And therefore, the Rambam says, whenever it's possible that a miracle could be set up at Sheshis Mei Bereshis, that means it's not a miracle anymore because it's part of nature. It's part of nature that the world, earth, the sea has the following properties. And when the following things are met, then it's going to split. That's scientific already. That's nature already. If there's certain conditions that will lead, condition X, Y, and Z will lead to A, B, and C, so that's built into the system. Once it's built in the system, it's no longer a miracle. A miracle means to break the system. Does this mean the Rambam denies miracles? No, the Rambam doesn't deny miracles. But the Rambam certainly does try as best as much as possible to bend over backwards to say that as much as possible, miracles are already set up prior. And therefore, these tremendous miracles that were going to take place in the future, these were already pre-programmed into the nature. This is what the Rambam here writes in his Perush right here on this Mishnah.